In the name of Jesus, amen. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 10. And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. The title of my meditation is A Eulogy and a Monument. We say goodbye to Epiphany, and tomorrow begin the season of Lent. We're introduced to this season by way of the death of Moses. But this text is not what it may appear. Moses' death shows God's grace. It starts with a survey of the land given by the Lord's gracious hand. God's mercifulness is displayed, and also flawed humanity is in plain view. The fulfillment of a promise apart from our sinful nature. There's an aperture opening up in this text, and it points to Christ. So after the land survey, then we move immediately to the commissioning of Joshua. But we're not done with Moses yet. Rather, the Lord God is not done telling us about Moses. The Lord God has something to say to us, a brief eulogy about Moses. The Lord wants us to remember Moses in a very clear and concise way concerning his activities and his relationships, his greatness, his relationship to God, all the signs and wonder, and the terror. For all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of Israel. This is truly a eulogy we are required to remember. Not long ago, I was confronted with the responsibility to remember a loved one. My dad died a little over a year ago. I've had time to reflect on that short, frenetic span of time between death and the burial. When someone you love and admires dies, things move really fast. And piled on top of that, you're not at your best. You are tired. Many long hours spent in shifts with your brother and sister and mother. I just finished bathing Dad with my sister-in-law, who's a nurse. We finished an abbreviated form of matins, supplemented by the portals of prayer. I went down to the basement to clean up, hot, sweaty. Mary, my wife, knocks on the bathroom door. She said she heard Mom. I knew what that was. I ran back upstairs after putting on my sweaty gym shirt and shorts back on from bathing Dad. Dad was gone. I laid my hand on his forehead and prayed the commendation of the dying. And lots of things happen. The hospice nurse comes by and declares him deceased. And she also makes sure that any extra narcotics are destroyed and that the funeral home is notified. And so the funeral home shows up, and with dignity and respect, they took the shell of my dad away for preparation. Now, the home is empty, and it's hushed. For me, it was wonderful and beautiful. You see, we are a Christian home. There's a profound sense of peace and warmth that came over our family on that January day. Then it all picks up again, selecting a suit, the color of socks, going to the funeral home. Time does not permit to go into further detail here. But this is where we all share in this text this morning. Here is how the Holy Spirit touches and connects and makes this event in Deuteronomy alive and wonderful and joins to the promises in Christ Jesus. You see, in our culture, there are at least two ways to create remembrance when someone dies, at least two. And in no particular order, there is the eulogy, which in some biblical scholars' circles, they claim that's what this is, that God had written Moses' eulogy. Second, there is a monument one constructs, a statue, a mausoleum, or a headstone, a place where future generations can go and pay homage. In Dad's case, our family put together a wonderful eulogy. The headstone, because Dad is a veteran, is limited in choices. But the family, all of us, were pleased that Dad rests awaiting the resurrection beneath a headstone bearing a cross with a Lutheran rose embossed upon it and the words, "Beloved Child of God." In our text this morning, we have no place of certain burial for Moses. We know only that after his death, he was buried in the Moab, the desert, and the body of Moses was fought over, as we read in the book of Jude. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not himself dare to condemn or slander, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Some have speculated that due to the greatness of Moses and the weakness of the human condition, we might make a grand place of worship to Moses and not to God, ignoring his mission, ignoring his purpose, and setting up the great lawgiver for worship. Yes, this could happen. But like many events in Deuteronomy, we are left to speculate and move on with God's great plan of salvation and redemption. The benevolence of God, unfathomable and wonderful, is not yet finished with Moses. An example of his grace of God is born in eternity. He does not disappear from history. More specifically, Moses does not disappear from salvation history. You know this well. We see him again on the Mount of Transfiguration. In holiness and purity, Moses confers with Jesus and Elijah. Moses the lawgiver, Moses the man of God's choosing, Moses the terror, the man who brought down from Sinai the Decalogue, "Follow the Devarim and live in prosperity," so says Moses. How wonderful and frightening were the words of Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, where Moses says, "I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live." How powerful and frightening. Because the depth of our broken humanity is such that we don't have the capability to obey the law perfectly. What trepidation, how crushing, how fatiguing. When the children of Israel sinned against God, the results were horrific terror. Now, Moses is not the antithesis of Jesus, nor the vicious hand of God. Rather, he is the one that points to Jesus. Consider the Mount Transfiguration. What a contrast we have. Moses, the personification of the law, harsh, brutal, judging, a terror, finding every kink and flaw, showing the glide path to eternal death due to rebellion and sin. Standing next to the terror is the forgiveness of sins, the living hope, the victory over death, Jesus. One, the embodiment of the law. The other, the personification of the gospel. It is our Lord who took upon himself the law and obeyed it perfectly, atoning for our sins. Our failure to obey the law is contrasted and contradicted by God's one and only Son. It is Jesus who took the terror of the law on his shoulders, nailed it to a cross intended for us, and by his death atone for our sin. So God tells us to remember and honor Moses. God reveals his plan through him to point to Christ, our everlasting Lord. So as you journey through Lent, and as we journey through life, we will be comforted during times of challenges, whether it be eulogies or monuments, remembering this passage of Deuteronomy, Moses who points to the law, which points to Christ. Moses was saved by grace through faith. Luther went so far as to call Moses Christian, one of ours. Like my dad and all who close their eyes in death, we will wake up to newness of life. for the grace and the sake of Jesus. May we share and tell of the greatness of God's love to everyone. May this eulogy, pointing to life everlasting and a living, thankful monument in our hearts, continue forever and ever. And we ask this in his holy and precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.